And then one day, a magic day, he passed my way.
The great Nat King Cole, one of my favorites of all time. You listen to that voice all day long.
Absolutely.
And welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're here with James Rich, the playwright and lead performer in There Was a Boy. And Vincent Dion Stringer. Vincent Stringer, of course, is a producer of that production, providing the art direction, and is the force behind music here.
Oh, no.
Ooh, be careful, right?
Yeah, be careful.
What I put on, you'll get you in trouble.
Exactly.
So tell us about this, what this production is, and also I understand that, well, let me start here. Just
okay.
Tell us, Vincent, what's happening.
Well, we are doing a staged reading of the play or the musical. We're sort of struggling to determine what exactly we have. whether it's we're calling it a Broadway style jazz operetta.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
And it's by James Rich, and
he's in the studio with us.
He was in the studio with us.
Hello,
he's been working on this project for 10 years, and we just happened to be last year we were together for the funeral of our teacher from high school. And we started talking about projects and ideas. And I had just, I served for the university as the announcer for commencement. And there was a note for the class of 1964, the anniversary class of 1964 at the time that I took a special note of, that the one of the honorary degree recipients from Morgan, he was Nat King Cole. In 1964.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so that stuck in my head, because as I started thinking about the sesquicentennial and ways to tie back and connect to our legacy here at Morgan, Nat King Cole stayed in my mind. And when James mentioned that he was working on this project, I was like, that sounds like something we should, you know, talk about. So, and we put our heads together, and here we are. We're putting on There Was a Boy, which opens on November 19th. Through the 21st.
And where will it be?
It's going to be in the Murphy Fine Arts Center Recital Hall.
So tell us about James Rich. You're the man. So
the man.
Tell us about this sojourn and what this is really about. Tell me what's going to happen here.
I want to be really clear with everybody that that it is a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And like Vincent said, you know, we're still trying to figure out exactly what it's going to be. My background is in musical theater. It's sort of going to straddle that line between theater and an operetta, utilizing the music, Nat King Cole's music legacy to tell a story about love. The whole show will sort
of... What do you mean a story about love?
It's a story about love between a parent, and it's really more a story about love between a parent and child,
mm-hmm.
Between a man and the music he loved, and also... hang on, let me just check this note real quick.
I mean, literally about Nat King Cole and his love.
Yeah,
for...
it is. Again, it's mainly a story about love, but we're using Nat King Cole as the vehicle to tell that story. He was arguably the greatest love singer of all time.
Mm, I think
you
so.
Anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you know.
Hello. Yes.
What better inspiration to tell a story about love? And the cool thing about it is that most of the music that he recorded, you know, they were all, he started out with novelty tunes. But a lot of the songs he recorded, they all within the song, you know, they were all their own little stories. And so what it does is, based on events in his life, events that, you know, are all, you know, part of the public domain. And it tells a story about love. And we sort of use the prodigal son as a theme throughout the story.
And so... Have you casted this? Who's in this?
Yes, we have. We're using the opera students.
These are students. We're using Morgan students. This is a part of the opera workshop at Morgan, opera at Morgan. And we have an interesting gathering of folks in this, because we have we have the vice president of student affairs,
yes,
Kevin Banks.
Which is fantastic.
And he plays the role of...
Really? He sings?
He sings.
He's a singer.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And he plays the role of Nat King Cole's father, Reverend Cole.
Wow.
And then we have the interim dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Pamela Scott Johnson, who plays the role of Nat Cole's mother. And
she sings as well?
She's a musician. She's an accomplished musician.
She's a singer. She plays the flute and clarinet. And then we have Well, James is going to be singing the role of Nat Cole. But then we have a cast of students, and we have an interesting colleague, radio colleague. Her name is Diana Neal from
WBJC.
Diana Neal is
WBJC.
WBJC. Right. She's actually playing Gunilla Hutton, which was a love interest at one point of Nat King Cole's.
Right.
And so then
I
we have
seen Diana Neal a long time. Right.
Exactly. It's
well.
Great
yeah.
to have
right,
her.
Right, 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 right.
And then we have Philip Burgess, who's playing Carlos, who was Nat King Cole's manager. Philip Burgess is one of our theater faculty. There's a cast of about what?
It's about 15.
About 15.
15?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And they're playing various characters, news anchors, critics, and, just smaller roles throughout. Just people who kind of came in and out of Nat King Cole's life to help tell the story.
And then our old friend Dwight Cook, who's helping us with the stage direction of this for this particular reading. So he's on board as well.
Wow.
So we're quite busy.
So this as a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Talk about how the two of you approach this, because when you say work in progress, that usually means that a playwright is still working on the finished product. And they're staging it at certain places where mm-hmm. it can be worked on with different people, and then mm-hmm. people critique it and come back, and you shorten it and you move mm-hmm. this out of here. So talk about this process of the two of you doing this together and how they came up. Well, start there.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. I actually last year in New York, I did what do we call it? We call it a salon reading. I got 15 of my friends together in New York. I rented a studio, and it was the first time I ever let anyone besides my mentors read it. And I didn't tell them what they were reading until they got to the studio. So it was literally a cold read. And when they figured out what they were reading, they all kind of freaked out. They were like, "Oh my God, this is like crazy! This is crazy, man!" And we did it without we did it without the music. So it was literally just reading the script. And the funny thing about it is that I only I could have read the lyrics, but I was more familiar with the music portion just by singing it, because I own Nat King Cole's the entire collection of music he recorded for Capitol Records, from 1943 until 1965.
You don't like him very much, do you?
Not too much. I just started singing the songs, and it was kind of funny. It was kind of like this communal thing happened. People around the table just started singing with me, so it became. I mean, it was intended to be a music piece anyway, but I didn't expect these people to sing the music with me, but they did. And so then when Vin and I started talking.
You've known each other in the past, I
think. Oh, God, we've known each other for longer than this school
that.
Has been in existence. when we started talking, I had already been looking around for someone to collaborate with to arrange the voice and the music. And one of my dear friends, Matt, his name is Matt Falker. Matt and I had studied with the same jazz instructor in college. I studied with Diana at Syracuse University. Matt studied with her at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to LA about 10 years ago for a bit, and she introduced us. And so, we just had a really good vibe. And so when I called him up and asked him if he'd be interested in working on the music, because Vin and I had talked about the possibility. We were at the time, it was just the possibility of putting this thing up. Well, Matt's like, "Well, I'll be on sabbatical. So that would be great. I'm going to do it." It's not even a second thought. And so then it all just, everything just kind of fell into place. And, so here we are now with some beautiful, and Matt, I mean, he is an incredible jazz arranger. And it's just so fun to be able to introduce this music. To reintroduce it to people who know Nat King Cole in a slightly different way, because some of the music is Nat in performance. Some of the music really just helps to tell the story of his life. So, we've taken some liberty with the arrangements there. And also, it's really, for me, the thrilling part is being able to introduce this music that sort of got lost in the mix when you think about it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
to reintroduce it to a whole new generation. So, to see these kids so hungry to learn the music, it's making it now relevant to a whole new audience. Well, and that's exciting to me.
I think that whole genre of music, whether it's Nat King Cole
anybody.
Or Johnny Hartman. They sang. I mean, this love just poured.
Yeah,
out
right. They told the stories, right? They
right?
told stories.
Love.
Yeah,
love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Or you made love. I
just flashed on when Hartman did that piece. The pieces he did with Coltrane. Mm. Remember that? That.
Yes. Yeah. I've been a fan of Johnny Hartman
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me. So tell me about this. So how you are in the mix of this in terms of helping move this project along.
Well, I'm at this point serving as the producer for this and getting it out to the public, helping James to get this reading up and running, and then to determine the next stage. We're looking at, you know, the possibility of bringing it into the either Turpin Lamb Theater or the Gilliam Concert Hall next year as a fully realized production. So right now we're sort of, you know, working on how we do that.
Working out the kinks.
And we are
in public.
In public.
Yes.
And then it's a
which is a little scary, but
I would imagine it's a little scary.
It's what you do as an
artist.
And
we're going to have, like, what are we having? We're going to have talk packs after the Saturday shows. Saturday.
Yeah.
So we have a 2 o'clock matinee and a 7:30.
This week? Is it this week?
It's the 19th through the 21st.
So I'm curious if you can just spend a little bit how you came up with this storyline that has to do with, you know, Nat King Cole being the crooner of love, but you're mixing something else in terms of love into this.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been doing theater in New York for about 25 years. Well, a little over 25 years. And from the time I started performing on stage, especially when I would do, you know, musical reviews, that's very popular in musical theater. I would have all these people always comment that I brought to mind a young Nat Cole on stage. I have a beard now, so you probably can't see it, but you know,
I never heard you sing.
There you go. Well, that too. And so I was curious.
You like to croon, obviously.
Well, yeah, you know, I've always loved that kind of music. And honestly, you know, a lot of jazz standards come from musical theater. You know, they were musical theater pieces.
Right.
And so I just always loved that music, and it just suited me really well. And so what started out as a curiosity for me. After so many people said that I brought to mind Nat Cole, I started kind of researching him. I knew who he was, but I didn't really know who he was. And so I started researching him. And then my research kind of became an obsession. And I just started taking down all these notes over the years and had all these index cards, you know, pink, blue, yellow, green, whatever. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And just got to talking with one of my mentors. And she says, you know, you should get this down on paper. I've always loved telling stories. And she said, you should get this down on paper, you know, just write something. And I just started writing something, not really knowing what it was going to be. And after I did the outline, she says, you know, you have a script here. I was like, really? She says, yeah. And so then I took a few writing classes and, you know, just figured out, well, what kind of story would I want to tell? And, you know, when I really got familiar with the story of his life, it reminded me a lot of my life, you know. And, you know, we all have a father and a mother. You know, we all have, you know, some good times and bad times with our moms and our dads. And so even though I'm using Nat King Cole as, you know, he's sort of the face of this thing, it really is my story as well, you know.
And where did the concept title for There Was a Boy come from?
From the song Nature Boy.
Nature Boy, of course.
You know, Nature Boy. You know, there was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far. And that's really what he did. You know, he really was Nature Boy. And just the things that I, you know, have read and seen and have been reported about him, you know, he really was in search of love, which is why I think he sang those songs so well. You know, I think a lot of times in life, the things that we do are really representative of where we are in our lives or what we seek in our lives. And, you know, I think that throughout his life, he really was seeking, you know, validation. Even though he was so famous, you know, he was still seeking validation and love and approval. And so, and that, I think, is ultimately what the prodigal son, you know, a prodigal child, that's what they're seeking. And so that's why they're out there trying to find themselves in the world. And he was constantly trying to find himself in the world.
You know, another interesting point of this, too, because, I mean, the prodigal son, Nat Cole's father, was a Baptist preacher.
Yeah.
This is a story
right.
of a father telling
yeah.
his story about his son
yeah.
who, you know, I'm a PK and my singing of classical music was like, why are you singing that opera mess? You ought to be singing for the Lord. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Nat King Cole singing love songs in this Baptist
Daddy,
father.
I'm not singing blues,
was
I'm just
not,
singing opera.
I'm
oh,
just
yeah.
singing opera. I remember one time I was singing Elijah. And one of the ministers from my church came and he heard me singing Elijah, but he couldn't get it that it was not gospel music. It was oratorio. So he's like, you ought to be singing for the Lord. I don't know why you're singing that opera mess. And I had just read and sang the scriptures. But it was a very interesting thing about this connection, you know, and the way James has decided to tell the story is with, you know, from the perspective of his father. His father is paramount throughout this whole mm-hmm. piece from the beginning to the end.
And the fun, and what I did want to do, I'm sorry, cut mm-hmm. you off. What I did want to do, I didn't want to wanted to pick, you know, the typical fire and brimstone breathing minister. So my take on it, you know, it's theater. My sister's a minister, and so I have seen her, you know, practicing her sermons before Sunday morning. She walks around the house sometimes in bedroom slippers, you know,
right.
Big bunny rabbits on it. So literally his father throughout the piece, the idea is that his father is practicing this in his house. You know, how am I going to tell the story about this prodigal son without letting everybody know it's my prodigal son? You know, and so it's really just the father trying to come to terms with the fact that he loves his son, but, you know, how does he come to terms with him singing music that's not church music?
Yeah, finish up here for a
second. So another important point in this, too, is that, you know, Nat King Cole, the significance of him singing these love songs, he was the first black man to have his own television
show.
And him being on the stage, that was a difficult thing in that era. And so a black man singing love songs with a largely white audience in the crowd was a significant.
Nat King seemed love to all these white women out there.
You know, that's a scary thought. You know what I mean? It didn't have one of me look at you. It's like, oh my God.
This is exciting. And I'm really happy to you stopped by, and I'm looking forward to this. You just heard the voice of Vincent Stringer, who's producing There Was a Boy, also doing the art direction, where Vincent Stringer is also coordinator of vocal studies and director of the Opera Workshop and assistant professor of music here at Morgan State, co-founder of the Orpheus Music Global, mm-hmm. Here with his partner James Rich, the playwright and lead performer in There Was a Boy, and will be taking place Thursday, November 19th at Murphy Fine Arts Center, here on the campus of Morgan State University. The performance goes through the 21st of November, and tickets information available at murphyfineartcenter.org. That's murphyfineartcenter.org. There Was a Boy opens Thursday, November 19th with discussions. You can help make this play into an incredible success by being there, hearing it, and giving dialogue and feedback back and forth.
Absolutely.
And to all these incredible actors and singers who are going to be part of this, it sounds like it's going to be wonderful. And it's great to have you. See you again, Vincent.
It's great to see
always,
you, too,
and lovely to meet you, James Rich.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
And we're going to take a very short break. We're going out with a little Nat King Cole right now, as is appropriate, I think, for this moment. We'll be right back. It's time for the City Paper. Unforgettable. We'll be right back.
Never.